This show is part of the Out of This World Entertainment on the Sci-Fi Podcast Network, TSFPN.com.
Hi, welcome to the podcast for TheForce.net. I'm Eric, your host, bringing you the latest news, events, and commentary from the Star Wars community.
I'd like to welcome all the new listeners who found us via iTunes. If you're an iPod user who hasn't upgraded to version 4.9 of iTunes yet, you might want to consider downloading it soon. The new version has built-in podcast support, so it's yet another way in which you can have the TFN podcast automatically sent straight to your iPod. In today's show, we've got our overview of the prequel novels given by Jay from RebelScum.com. But first, a few news items. Natalie Portman is going to make her convention debut at the San Diego Comic-Con. On Friday, July 15th, she'll be part of a two-hour Warner Brothers presentation starting at 11 a.m. She'll be appearing on behalf of her upcoming film, V for Vendetta, based on the comic book by Alan Moore, and produced by Joel Silver and the Wachowski brothers, best known for the Matrix series. Now, keep in mind that there's been no indication that she'll be doing autographs or even sticking around after the presentation. It's entirely possible, and actually very likely, that she'll be at the convention long enough for the presentation and that's it. So if you do get a chance to meet her, that's great, but don't get your hopes up. I don't mean to be downplaying this, though. This should turn out to be a very good presentation, and it'll probably be very difficult to get into, so figure out your strategy in advance. I'm very happy to announce that the One Man Star Wars show will be appearing at the Hanna Theater in Cleveland from July 12th to the 17th. And if you don't live in Cleveland, check out the website at onemanstarwars.com for other upcoming shows. I caught this show at Celebration 3, and it was without question one of the highlights of the entire convention. This guy's amazing. I mean, just the physical nature of the show alone, this guy's going nonstop for an hour straight. I have no idea where he gets that much energy. The only thing I can think of is that he must stock up on Snickers bars ahead of time or something. Anyway, if you ever get a chance to see this guy's show, you must go see it. Again, check out the website at onemanstarwars.com for more information, and check out our news story at TFN for information on how to get discounted tickets. I was glad to see many of you could appreciate my lame attempts at humor in the last podcast. What I wasn't really counting on, though, was just how many people I'd get writing in about the mouse droid. So, lesson number one about doing a Star Wars podcast, never make fun of the mouse droid. Now, I can't say I could quote the entire Star Wars databank entry by heart, but I did know basically what they were for. I knew that their designation is MSE6. I knew they were used, as I jokingly said, for some basic communications and security functions. I didn't know that they also served as repair droids. I guess you'd have to hope that whatever breaks is fairly low to the ground. Some other tidbits of info. They were developed by the Shadra fan species. Like the short little bat-faced guy getting a drink from the bartender in A New Hope. Yeah, those guys. Also, they're used as navigation droids so that stormtroopers don't get lost on the Death Star. Nice that they can get them to navigate for the stormtroopers. Too bad they couldn't get them to aim their guns for them, too. Anyway, thanks to everybody who wrote in about this. Jay's never going to let me live this one down. One last thing before the overview of the prequel novels. I'd like to thank all of you who voted for us at Podcast Alley, and I'm pleased to announce that for the first time we've made it into the top 25 ranked podcasts. Not sure how long that'll last, as it's still fairly early in the month, but still that's very impressive considering they rank over 4,000 podcasts there. So I wanted to let you guys know that we all really appreciate your help. Also, while the iTunes podcast feature is still new, we're in the top 100 there already, which might not sound quite as impressive, but consider that the top podcasts there consist mostly of professional media, such as CNN, ABC, ESPN, etc. So again, thanks for helping us become that successful. We really appreciate it.
Okay, well, let's go ahead and talk a little bit about the prequel novels. I've gotten a lot of emails from people wanting to know more about the expanded universe. And being that you're the resident expert here, go ahead and give us a little bit of an introduction to the prequel novels.
Well, I think I'm only an expert because I say I am, but
hey, you've got me convinced. Yeah, I've not been able to stump you so far.
Okay, well, they're surprisingly, for people that haven't been following the prequel novels, there actually have been quite a few. They've put out prequel novels surrounding each of the film releases, Episode 1 to Episode 2, and then Episode 3, obviously, I think has had the most prequel novels surrounding it, being the fact that there's the Clone Wars. If we start chronologically, kind of the way that you had done your last one, we've got Darth Maul Saboteur, which is actually an e-book. E-books have really taken off in the prequel timeline here as well. Mm-hmm. James Luceno did that one, and that's a Darth Maul book, obviously. And it deals with some events that are spoken about in the Darth Maul Shadowhunter novelization by Michael Reeves, as well as some information that was in the Darth Maul comic book miniseries by Dark Horse. Then we've got Cloak of Deception, also by James Luceno. That's an Episode 1 prequel. And a lot of people that I've heard didn't like it too much. As with Episode 1, it was a very political sort of book. But it was very interesting to see how Palpatine was manipulating people even back then, working with and against the Chancellor at the time. Mm-hmm. So I found there was some really good intrigue in there that led to backstory elements that would come into Episode 1. Okay, and then there's Episode 1, The Phantom Menace by Terry Brooks, and the novelizations of the films in the prequel time probably work a little bit better than the adaptations that you may have read of the original trilogy. The authors of these books were given information well in advance so that they were able to craft their stories and actually add other information. So each of the Episode 1, Episode 2, and Episode 3 novels contains more information and even cut scenes from those films. For example, Episode 1, the standout pieces for me in that are the fact that you get to see some extra pod racing elements with Anakin. For as interesting as that is, you get to find out why he doesn't have his pod racer anymore.
Right.
The next book in the prequel lines is Rogue Planet, which is written by Greg Bear, and that's his only book so far in the Star Wars universe. Rogue Planet deals with Obi-Wan Kenobi and a teenaged Anakin.
Yeah, kind of an adolescent.
Yeah. And they go investigating this sentient planet called Zenoma Sekot. And fans of the New Jedi Order will recognize that planet as being important then. So as the New Jedi Order was being planned, they actually decided to create a prequel novel that planted the seeds for elements that would occur in the New Jedi Order.
Right.
Oh, and by the way, I'm skipping over young reader books here. Surrounding Episode 1, there's a series of young reader books called Jedi Apprentice, and there's a series of paperbacks made for young adults, probably like 10 to 14-year-olds, plus a couple of special editions that relate to Qui-Gon's adventures with an adolescent Obi-Wan Kenobi prior to Episode 1. After Rogue Planet, we get in some more of the adolescent books. These are called Jedi Quest, and these focus on Obi-Wan and Anakin's adventures together after their Rogue Planet adventures, Anakin being in the Jedi Temple and things that go on there. But getting back to the adult novelizations, the next book is The Approaching Storm by Alan Dean Foster, and that's the bridge novel that takes us directly into Episode 2. There's a throwaway line given by, I think it's Mace Windu in Episode 2, about a battle on Ancyon that Anakin and Obi-Wan are just returning from.
Right.
This tells the story of that adventure. It was interesting because this was Alan Dean Foster's return to the Star Wars universe after having ghostwritten the original A New Hope adaptation as well as Splinter of the Mind's Eye. The book was interesting. It had a different feel than a lot of the other books that have been coming out, I think mostly because he's a more established, old-school sort of science fiction writer, and that gave it a different flavor. I'm not saying that's good or bad. It was not one of my favorites, but I think it serves its point, and people who are Alan Dean Foster fans, I'm sure, will like that a lot.
Right.
Okay, that takes us up to Episode 2, Attack of the Clones, by R.A. Salvatore. And that marks his second book in the Star Wars universe, the first one being Vector Prime, which I think you already covered as being the first book in the New Jedi Order.
Mm-hmm.
So when it was announced that he was doing Episode 2, obviously a lot of fans upset at his writing in Vector Prime. Actually, not upset at his writing, but upset at
more him. More so at the events that took place.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
They were, you know, a little less than thrilled. I got to say, the Attack of the Clones novelization is well written. It also provides some scenes that are, cut scenes or things that were planned for later.
Right. And it was actually, I think, the love story arc throughout episode two, I think, was a lot more prominent in the book, and it was explained a lot better, too. I think it gave the readers a much better idea of what was going on between Anakin and Padme, especially with Padme, kind of the conflict that was going on inside of her. And it gave the readers a glimpse of things you didn't get to see in the film.
Yeah, exactly. There's also another sequence that I really enjoy in there, and it's we find out how Shmi gets captured by the Sand People.
Yes.
And how Kleeg loses his leg, which I find just little tidbits and stuff like that really interesting in the background. So then, immediately following the episode 2 novelization, there's some young reader books about Boba Fett, about teenage Boba Fett striking out on his own. And then getting back to the adult fiction again, the next book in the timeline is Republic Commando Hard Contact by Karen Travis. A lot of people have probably looked at this book and said, oh, you know, it's another spinoff based on a video game, and people may have heard that Star Wars Galaxies wasn't the greatest adaptation, and so they were a little shy to pick it up. Well, I have to tell you, Hard Contact is probably one of my favorite books in the timeline here as well. It does kind of, for the prequel era, what I think Rogue Squadron does for the post-Return of the Jedi era, which is saying a lot, but it's a group of Republic Commandos having to strike out on their own and get a mission accomplished and all the things that they have to run into. And it's the author, Karen Travis, does a really good job of jumping back and forth between all the different characters that she has to deal with. Even though it's a squad of four, it's a lot less than Stackpole or Alston were dealing with in the Rogue Squadron books, but it's still a good read.
Okay. That's still got kind of a military feel to it too, right? So it's a little bit different theme than a lot of the other standard Star Wars novels. Is that correct?
Yeah, it really has the... It has a lot of nomenclature and military action stuff. Plus, we also get to find out a little bit about how these clones have been trained, the Republic Commandos being kind of special services where the ARC troopers are like the elite fighters, and then you've got the regular clones that are just the grunts.
Okay. So the Rebel Commandos kind of fall in between those two groups.
Correct.
Okay.
Then the next book in the timeline is Shatterpoint, which I've stated previously is I think one of the, at least my favorite books, and it's a really great novelization about Mace Windu returning to his home planet of Harkin Kol. It's written by Matthew Stover, and it takes place during the Clone Wars, and we get to see one of the battles that's being fought, and it really gets into the psyche of Mace Windu, and we find out a little bit about him and a little bit about Depa Balaba, who was his Padawan and also another Jedi Master on the Council. It takes sort of an Apocalypse Now tone to the book. Mace returns into the Heart of Darkness to find out what happened to his friend who has gone a little crazy from the war and committed some atrocities that are definitely un-Jedi-like.
Yeah, it's a much darker book, I think, than a lot of the other
novels.
It is,
and it really gets into what Mace Windu has to deal with being one of the top Jedi in this time, you know, in this time period.
Right.
And Matthew Stover, and people talk about this a lot, he really gets into the minds of his characters and just gives you a lot to work on. It's kind of like the way Stephen King does his writing, where there's so much internalization and monologue that if you were to adapt it into some other medium, it just, you know, the plot is not very much. I mean, character goes from point A to point B, but their travel is not just about the distance, it's about what they're experiencing.
Right, it's about the internal conflicts going on.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's a really great book. And then also in here are some other young adult books. There's a book called Legacy of the Jedi, which deals with a young Dooku, a young Qui-Gon, a young Obi-Wan, and a young Anakin at different points in their life and characters that they run into there. The next book in the timeline is actually not out yet, but we're anticipating it probably mid-year in 2006. It's called Republic Commando 000. It's also going to be written by Karen Travis, and it's going to continue the adventures of Omega and Delta squads, which she has in her previous Hard Contact book and also in a short story that she published for The Insider. And that's going to follow the clones a year after the Battle of Geonosis, and they have to return to Coruscant, hence the 000 designation in the title, Coruscant being Galactic Coordinates 000.
Right.
The next book is The Cestus Deception by Stephen Barnes, and that's a hardcover. It's a Clone Wars novel, and it deals with Obi-Wan Kenobi and Anakin returning to Ord Cestus and having to deal with taking the clones on as their soldiers, taking on the mantle of generals in the clone army, as the Jedi are kind of forced to do during the Clone Wars.
Right.
And the reader gets to experience the fact that this is probably the first time that the clones are actually looked at as an actual person. The question of why am I fighting with this person, and the book opens with the characters believing the clones are just like the battle droids, basically. They're disposable military hardware.
Right.
And they come to realize that they're actually, you know, human. And that theme is also carried over in the duology of paperbacks that come out right after that, or at least come out after that chronologically. I'm pretty sure that the Clone Wars books were all released in chronological order, so it was relatively easy to follow them. But that would be the MedStar duology by Michael Reeves and Steve Perry. The two books in that being Battle Surgeons and Healer. Michael Reeves has obviously done a couple of these other prequel books. Steve Perry, people may remember as writing the Shadows of the Empire novel that took place between Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi. These books, again, take place during the Clone Wars, and they follow Barriss Offee as she becomes the Jedi healer attached to a mobile surgical hospital. Kind of think MASH in the Star Wars universe. But if I just tell you that this book is MASH in the Star Wars universe, it's doing a huge disservice to it. Just like MASH was a comedy, but it worked on many different levels, these books work on many different levels as well. And if you can get by the initial, maybe first two chapters, just with the introduction of characters, there's a lot of really good information in these two books. And they were really fun to read. And I was surprised, because usually as you get the paperback books, they have the kind of the B stories, stories that aren't as exciting to be told in the hardcovers. But, I mean, these could have been hardcover books. They were great.
Well, from what I can tell, the general consensus seems to be that these are some of the best prequel books out there.
Exactly. One cool thing that I liked about it, and this is kind of getting down just kind of deep into the trivia, there's a great character in Darth Maul Shadow Hunter called I-5. He's a almost sentient protocol droid, kind of along the lines of 3PO, but, I mean, he knows so much more and is so much more self-aware than 3PO ever is in the trilogy. And we see him in there, and he kind of loses his memory at the end. Well, he shows up in here because Michael Reeves has written both books, so I-5 kind of shows back up, and we get to find out a lot more interesting things about him, and there's some information about stuff that we saw in Shadowhunter that he has to tell in here. So in between those books, there's yet another e-book that was published during this time, also by Stephen Barnes, called The Hive, and that takes place more during the end of the Cestus Deception than during the MedStar books, but it coincides with those right there. Then the next hardcover in the Clone Wars is Jedi Trial by David Sherman and Dan Cragg. And that deals with Anakin Skywalker having to kind of take on his own Jedi trial and strike out as a military leader. There are a couple of other supporting characters in the book that I felt were very forced, and I didn't enjoy reading this book as much as I should have. They had focused a lot on other characters rather than Anakin, at least at the beginning. But the stuff that they had with Anakin was interesting because he was dealing a lot with Neja Halcyon, which fans of iJedi will probably know that he's, I believe, he's Qor-An Horn's grandfather.
Yes, I believe that's correct. Yeah.
So you get to see him in his prime as a Jedi fighting in this battle.
Interesting.
The way I said that MedStar books felt like they could have been a hardcover, I felt like Jedi Trial could have been a paperback, but that's just my take. I'm sure some people enjoyed that. Jedi Trial also deals with Anakin becoming a knight and having his knighting ceremony. In the middle of Jedi Trial, chronologically, comes Yoda Dark Rendezvous by Sean Stewart. That's that was the last paperback that was published in the Clone Wars prequel set. And I got to say, that's a really fun read. We get to find a lot more out about Yoda. We also get to find a lot about Dooku in this. And Dooku returns to his home planet of Vijun, which fans of deep EU knowledge may also remember. That's where Darth Vader keeps a castle. There are also a couple of other Jedi characters that pop up in there that Yoda is having to train. And they go on to fight Dooku at the end there. One of these characters is a young teenage Jedi named Whye, W-H-I-E, and he actually shows up in episode 3. He has a dream, kind of a forced premonition in Dark Rendezvous that Anakin will kill him, and then he finally meets Anakin, and he says, "Wow, that was weird. You're this totally cool guy that came in and just saved me." And Anakin's like, "Yeah, I don't know what that's about." People looking for him, you can see him as a hologram in the Jedi Temple when Obi-Wan is rewinding the tapes and watching Anakin slaughter Jedi. Y is one of those Jedi that he slaughters there. Then there are a couple other Boba Fett novels in the Young Reader line. The teenage Boba Fett gets his dad's armor and starts to become the bounty hunter that we all know and love in future books. Okay, then this brings us into kind of the last Revenge of the Sith books here. There's a trifecta here. We've got Labyrinth of Evil by James Luceno, which is an immediate prequel book to Revenge of the Sith, written by Matthew Stover. And then there's going to be another new hardcover coming out in November called Dark Lord, also by James Luceno. These three books fit into the timeline basically back to back to back. Labyrinth of Evil deals very, very magnificently with the abduction of Palpatine by Grievous and all the manipulations that Dooku and Sidious have to put in place to get Grievous to believe that it's okay to kidnap Palpatine, but not to hurt him in any way. But Grievous, being mostly droid, is able to follow orders. We find a little bit about Grievous's background, and of course Anakin and Obi-Wan are following along to try to rescue him and dealing with some issues of their own.
Now, how closely does this tie in with the Clone Wars cartoon, the Volume 3?
Well, we could do an entire show on just how the Clone Wars cartoon, the comic books, and the novelizations all tie in together. It's very heavy with the plot threads.
Because a lot of the plot events actually involved both the Labyrinth of Evil book and Volume 3 of the Clone Wars. Is that right?
Okay. Exactly. As well as the Hyperspace Online comic, as well as the Dark Horse comics. There's a lot of overlapping timelines here, and we see there's been a lot of debate on fan boards, and Leland Chi, who is the keeper of the holocron at Lucasfilm, has tried to straighten some of this out, but there's just overlapping events, and we see things from different perspectives at different times in different medium. So fans kind of have to choose if they are huge continuity fans. Do I follow the events in Labyrinth of Evil? Is that because it's a novel, it's a higher canon than, say, the cartoons, or a higher canon than the comic books? I'm going to leave that for people to debate later, but yeah, there's a lot of information in here. Because the subplot, of course, which kind of speaks to what we're seeing in the Clone Wars cartoon, deals with Mace Windu and his Jedi posse going out and having to track down the other Sith Lord. So they figure out that there's something going on with the Senate and the Sith Lord and are very close to discovering who it is at the end of the book. And the end of the book ends with Anakin and Obi-Wan in their Jedi starfighters jumping into the middle of a battle right over Coruscant. Then, of course, as I mentioned, the Revenge of the Sith novelization by Matt Stover. Hands down, the finest novelization of a Star Wars film. Matt Stover, again, who the author of Shatterpoint, does a tremendous job of really getting into the psyche of the different characters. And we can see and understand why Anakin would actually turn to the dark side, where a lot of people in the film say, wow, you know, it's just a really quick switch. It's like he's presented with this choice and he just does it. I recommend everyone who has a problem with plot points of motivations in the film Revenge of the Sith, pick up this book. Either get the hardcover or pick it up when it comes out in a paperback.
Absolutely.
But yeah, it's an amazing novel. And again, there are cut scenes in this. We find out about the birth of the rebellion with Mon Mothma and Bail Organa meeting with Padme. And, you know, lots of little scenes like that. So that's really fun.
And again, Matthew Stover does such a good job of getting inside the characters' heads that you really get a really good perspective of what's going on with Anakin as he slowly goes through the transition of becoming Vader, how betrayed he really feels by the Jedi Council and all that.
Exactly. Yeah, I can only hope that the people at Del Rey realize what a great writer he is for this genre and continue asking him to do more books.
Yeah.
And then there's another new book coming out in November, probably around the DVD release, also by James Luceno, called Dark Lord. And it's going to follow Darth Vader. It's going to pick up, supposedly, right after the events of Revenge of the Sith, and kind of show us Darth Vader realizing who he is now and taking stock of himself and probably going out there and kicking some Jedi butt.
Cool.
And that brings us up to where we are today and what's coming up in the future.
All right. Well, I think that's a pretty good summary of everything that's going on. And for those of the listeners who wanted a better idea of what's actually out there for the prequels and what different time periods the novels were involved in, I think it's a pretty good guide. So on behalf of the listeners, thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. As always, I want to encourage you guys to email us anytime you have questions, comments, or feedback. Our email address is podcast@theforce.net. And if you like today's show, you can help us out a lot by voting for us at podcastalley.com. As always, I should point out that the opinions expressed here belong to Jay and myself, and they don't necessarily reflect the opinions of other TFN staff members nor of Lucasfilm. TheForce.net is not affiliated with Lucasfilm in any way. This podcast is copyright 2005, TheForce.net, and as silly as this sentence sounds, all trademarks are owned by their respective owners. Until next time, take care, and may the Force be with you.